encouraging our hearts before the message this morning. Music is not just filler until we get to the preaching. And, we have to do that because it's part of the tradition. You know, music is a very important part of our worship and a part of teaching and admonishing one another in songs, in hymns and spiritual songs. And that's the reason for singing. And so thank you for taking it seriously and just appreciate your heart with that and so many participating in. And then as a congregation, sometimes you might think, you know, I can't really sing. I just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we laugh about that a little bit. But you know, the Lord really appreciates that, joyful noise to the Lord and doing our best for Him. And so thank you for doing that. Romans chapter 12, and this is a passage that you probably know, and some of you could probably quote the first couple of verses by heart. And sometimes we hear so much about this passage that we can kind of clock out when somebody turns to it. And we say, oh, you know, I've heard 17 messages on this in my life, and so this is going to be another boring one. And like the brother said, it's going to be a long one. And just because he said that, I'm going to make sure I go long. Just kidding. I won't. But I'm a short preacher. Only about 5'7" or so. But this is a great passage. And honestly, recently I looked at this passage and was walking through it in my devotion time and then just really dug into it for sermon preparation and found so much in this passage, more than just what I'd thought about before and as it connected. Starting in verse 1. These are the familiar verses. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that caught me, giving yourself to God, and I understand that part. Give myself to God. God, you can do whatever you want with me. But it says, holy, acceptable unto God. God doesn't want me just to give myself to Him, but He wants me to give myself to Him holy. That is clean before God, set apart from the filth of the world, of sin. Give myself to God, a good sacrifice. Then He goes on, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then if you would look at verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so in verse 1, we see God wants us to give ourselves to Him personally. In verse 2, talks about that not being conformed to this world. In verse 3, He wants me to think of myself properly. I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Because if you're like me, sometimes you can be good at thinking about yourself. We're professionals at thinking about ourselves. And sometimes we get offended by some things other people do because we say something like, they weren't even thinking about me when they did that. And honestly, they probably weren't, you know. We think about ourselves a lot. We think about ourselves a lot more than other people think about us, and that's just the way it is. God wants us to think about ourselves properly, though. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. That is, to think realistically. Have the right view of ourselves. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then he goes in the next passages or verses to help us to think of others properly. He says in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Here he's saying, just like in your body, you have a different members or body parts that are all part of the same body. My nose, my eyes, my hands, my legs, my feet, they're all different body parts, but one body. So also is the body of Christ in the church. Every individual person is a body part of this body of Christ here. It's an organism here. We're all connected. If you think, I'm not really that important, yes, you are. In fact, you're essential to the body of Christ here in this church functioning properly. You are essential. Just like if you said, I don't think I really need this finger anymore. Some of you that have maybe experienced the loss of a finger or a toe, you could say, yeah, that actually does make a great difference. We're important in the body of Christ. And so it helps me think of other people properly when I recognize every one of us is important. I'm important, and so is every other person. We're important. Not to say I'm more important than you, because I need to think of myself properly, not more highly than I ought to think. But we're all important. We all have a part in the body of Christ. And then he goes on and describes what our part is, and we'll get to that in a little while. I just want to encourage you with this simple thought this morning. And this is Sunday morning. We come to church. We need something from God. And as I consider what to bring, this is what I have for you from the Lord. And I believe it's important for us to hear. What does God have for me this morning? You know, this is the only Sunday morning you get all week. I know that's, you know, a mind-blowing concept, but this is it. And so let's get what the Lord has for us. And this is what it is. Do your part. Do your part. Let's pray. Lord, will you help us this morning to be encouraged with the fact that I'm important to you, and I'm important in the body of Christ. And everyone else around me is important. And help us to do our part and just to know where that is and really be encouraged with fitting in where you place us and doing our part. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I speak. I pray that your spirit would be here very evident with us, that you would bless the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all have a part in the body of Christ. Let's go through the rest of these verses here briefly, and then we'll get into some particular points. So he says we're all body parts, and then look at what he says in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now let me stop here. God says you all are a body part in the church or the body of Christ. And so you have a special ability that God has gifted you with as a body part in the body of Christ. Now my hand can do some things that my foot cannot. And you can think about that, you know. If any of you are into shooting guns, your right hand is going to help you a lot more with pulling the trigger than your right foot. If you've tried that, if you haven't tried that, go ahead and try. With no one else around, please. It's not going to work very well. How about driving with your knee? Now, some of you can do that. You can drive with your knee. But is that the most effective body part to use to steer with the steering wheel, you know, around a tight corner? Some of you maybe, but probably not with me. No, I'm the kind of guy that sometimes I can be running late or really nip and tuck. And so I have mastered the art of knee driving at times if I'm tying a shoe or such. But no, not the best way to do it. And in the church, there are folks that are very gifted with something specific. This gift of prophecy here, in our day, we can think of this as someone who clearly sees truth. They see what the Bible says, this is right, this is wrong, and they don't mind telling you about it. Prophecy. And the rest of us get annoyed by those people. Who made you the spiritual policeman, you know, God's police officer, you know? We can kind of get a little annoyed with them, and they're like, I don't care. You know why? Because they're gifted with the gift of prophecy. Now, by the way, I'm going to go talk through these gifts, and there are extremes that can be taken in any of these gifts. And so you have to be careful to stay in line with the Holy Spirit of God. But someone with the gift of prophecy, they see clearly what the Bible says, and they're going to tell you about it. It's that gift of giving forth the truth of God's word, clearly, succinctly. Then he says in verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. There's some people that are just very, very good at seeing what needs to be done and doing it. They say, you know what? That person just had surgery and they're at home recovering. You know, they probably can't mow their lawn right now. And they're the person that goes over there, opens the shed up, knocks the door and says, hey, I couldn't find your gas. Where's the gas can? Now, this is what's different from other people. Some people would say, hey, brother, man, I'm praying for you. I'm so glad you got that surgery taken care of. I'm sure there are some things you can't do, probably. Just let me know if you need anything. Maybe some of you are like that. Let me know if you need anything. And if they let you know, you would be right there and help them. Some people, they just show up. They just show up. They open the shed. Good. The key's in the mower. Excellent. They go to start. Wait, the gas is low. I need to get. They're already there doing it. They didn't ask. And somehow they know that the relationship they have with you is enough that, you know, they can just go do that. They wouldn't necessarily do it for anyone because some people, they could tell, they probably wouldn't appreciate that if I just walked in, you know, and they mow their lawn and go back with scissors and cut it. You know, I probably better ask, you know. There's some of those. But they have the gift of ministering. They can just tell, this person needs this, and I'm just going to do it for them. Some of you in this room have that gift. You just think that way. You just know, you know, they'd really appreciate a pie right now, and you bring that. Now, I'm a younger generation. I think the younger generation doesn't always like pie. I don't understand that. I love pie. So if any of you are thinking about making a pie, I'm a great candidate for that. Just kidding. But yeah, some people are just, they're wired that way for ministering. And God says, if that's the way you are, be at it. Do your thing. Okay, so your prophecy, do your thing. Be at it according to the faith God has given you. Look at verse 5 or 6 again. I'm sorry, we're at 7. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Some of you are really gifted at teaching. Now, my dad is a teacher, and he's been teaching for years and years, and I'm telling you, he has the gift of teaching. He knows the best way to shovel a sidewalk, and he'll tell you about it. He knows the best, the most efficient way to get somewhere. Like, he knows the different ways that you could go to get from point A to point B, and which is faster by like 17 seconds. And, you know, he knows all the tricks. And there's another, our academic dean, Dr. Loader, he's been teaching his whole life. He's the same way. So I've worked with him, and he knows how to steal parking lots. He did that when he was a pastor, I guess, bivocational. And so he knows how to seal parking lots, and he'll tell you the best way to do it, you know, with the seal coating and the brooms and the squeegees. And he just knows the best way. My brother, he's like that. When I was on a date with Lauren, and we were dating, and I was borrowing my buddy's car, nice Jetta. It was a little nicer than my 1994 Ford Aerostar Sport. But anyways, his car was nicer, and so he let me borrow his car. And so I'm driving his car. It was a 5-speed stick. Hey, I know how to drive a stick. All right, it's not that hard to drive a stick. I know how to drive a stick. Well, my brother was with us one time, and he's in the back seat telling me how to shift this thing more smoothly. I'm just telling you, that was not cool. My girlfriend's in the seat next to me, and he's back there telling me how to shift this thing better. I don't want to know, you know? I'm one of those kind of people that's like, it works. You know, a little lurch here and there. Who cares? Well, he's the kind of guy, hey, he wasn't trying to be obnoxious. He just knew how to do it better, and he was just trying to help me along, you know, be a little more smooth. He was a teacher. He's a teacher. That's what he is. Some of you are gifted at teaching. You know the best way to do something. When it comes to the Bible, you're gifted at expressing truth. You understand it. You break it down. If there's something you don't understand, you go and while you're driving home from church, you're thinking about it and you're breaking it down some more. Or at work, you know, you're thinking about it and wait, why are they doing it this way? You know, this is what we could do. And you break it down. And then you, when you have an opportunity, you present it. You know what? You're a teacher. Congratulations. You're a teacher. And God says, if you're a teacher, be waiting on that ministry. Now, it doesn't mean create yourself a class without anyone saying that you can and just, I decided I'm a teacher, and so here we go. No, be connected to the leadership of the church, but be at your gifting. That's what God's gifted you to do. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, verse 8. There are some people that are just so good at coming along someone else who's discouraged. They walk into the church in the morning and they, wow, so-and-so looks really discouraged. And they walk up and they don't say, man, you look discouraged. They don't say it like that, but they just come alongside. Hey, brother, I was thinking about you this week. If they really were, you shouldn't lie. But I was thinking about you this week, and I hope you're doing great. And, man, how's that truck coming along? Or whatever. You know, they just bring in conversation and seek to encourage. And they have a burden for that. They have an eye for that. They see that. And God says, if you have that, you're noticing, you'd be waiting on that ministry. You'll be exhorting people, someone that maybe, well, they haven't been to church in a little while. You're probably the person, you noticed it, you're probably the person to pick up the phone, give them a call. Hey, how you doing? We missed you. And you're an exhorter. Be exhorting. It says in verse 8 there, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Do it sincerely. Do it not just to be seen of men, but give to be a help, a true help. There's some people that just love to give. My mom is a professional at making homemade bread. And in my family, there were 10 kids, 7 boys, and that's a lot of meat if you're feeding boys meat. My mom fed us bread. a lot of bread. We ate just a lot, and it was good, homemade bread. And she'd make it with this unbleached, unbromated white flour. And then she got into this health kick and started making this. She ground her own wheat berries and made this whole wheat bread. Ugh. That wasn't as good. Thankfully, she's pretty much hung that up, and she's making white bread again, and it's good stuff, I'm telling you what. My mom loves to make food for people. And now she runs the kitchen at our college up in Greenwood, and she's a master at it. And she loves feeding hungry young men. I think it's because she had all those boys. So these college boys come down to the cafeteria, and she just loads them up. I mean, loads them up. When someone's hurting or she wants to be a blessing, you know what she does? She makes them stuff, and she gives it to them. Sometimes we go to church, and there are people in my church that are walking around with a loaf of bread in their hand. You know, in a bag, loaf of bread. Came from my mom. She just likes to give. And some of you, you just love giving. God puts it on your heart, and you just love doing that. Hey, do it. Do your part. That is your part. God's gifted you to do it. God's given you grace to do that. God's helped you to see when there's a need, and you're the one to meet it, and you give. Sometimes a pastor might get up here and say, hey, this missionary in South America, he's let us know that they're trying to build this building. And something in your heart's like, I want to help with that. And either you want to go do it or you want to give toward it. And hey, do it. God's put it in our heart, you do it. He says, he that ruleth with diligence. Some people are good at ruling. Maybe you're annoyed with those people that are always bossing everyone else around. There are some people that are actually just good at ruling, administrating something. They're really good at seeing what needs to get done and thinking of who the best people are in the room to get it done. And they ask them to do it. Hey, would you mind? And they're kind of nice about it maybe, or maybe not if they're not very tactful. But hey, would you mind? And they're good at saying, this person will be really good at that and would probably enjoy doing it. And they ask them, and that person's like, yeah, sure. And they go do it. And that same person who asked that person asks another person to do something else. And that person's like, yeah, sure. And they go do it. And that same person who's asking these two people asks somebody else. You know what that is? It's someone who's good at administration. They're good at seeing what needs to get done and knowing who could do it, and they're not afraid to ask them if they're willing to do it. There's one of my coworkers. He is really, really, really talented with his hands and with his mind and really good at getting things done. But he prefers not to ask other people to do things. He prefers, he doesn't want to put them out or bother them. Now, myself, on the other hand, I'm not very good at doing things with my hands or with my mind. And so what I do a lot of asking other people to do things. And I probably annoy people, too. Hey, would you mind? Because I believe the Lord's helped me to have the gift of administration. Get things done. You know what God says? If that's you, do it with diligence. Because you know what? Sometimes, and I know this by experience, and I work in administration every day, sometimes you can see everyone else, hey, they're so good at this. I don't even know how to do that. Hey, that guy's great at that. And you get everybody plugged in. It's like, good. It's all getting done. No, God says you do that with diligence. You stay on top of things. You do your part. You help out where you can. You do it with diligence. But be at it. Be at your gifting. He says, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, they have the guy with the gift of prophecy. And he says, they did what? You know what the Bible says about that? They did what? Here, I'm going to go talk to them. They marched over, and the person with the gift of mercy says, wait. Let me talk to him first. And the person with the gift of mercy, you got this brother, maybe they've done something that was pretty sinful. And this person in the church with the gift of mercy says, let me talk to him. And they go to that person and say, hey, you know what? And they have a nice, calm conversation, and they even confront the Christian brother with his sin, and they tell him, hey, you know what? God wants to restore you. And that Christian brother gets right with God. You know what that is? The gift of mercy. Someone with a merciful heart, a merciful spirit, doing their gift of mercy. Now, sometimes that person, they don't do anything with that gift of mercy person. And they need the gift of prophecy to say, hey, you're doing wrong. Everybody doing their part is important in the body of Christ. So, do your gifting. Now, there are spiritual gifts tests, and there's all sorts of fun stuff you can do with spiritual gifts. I'll tell you the simple way to understand, what is my gifting? What has God given me to do? I'll tell you this. You say, God, I want to serve you. I want to do my part. will you open a door for me to do something for you? And the next opportunity you get for any kind of ministry or way to serve in the church or with a Christian brother, take it. You might think, oh, I don't think that's my gifting. You might find out it is. You find out what you're good at in the Lord's work by doing what God puts in front of you to do. And by the way, sometimes God gives you something to do that might not be your gifting, but he wants you to do it anyways. You just serve God, and you let the Holy Spirit work through your life, and you'll end up doing what you're good at. And you'll find out, you know what, I love doing this. I need to do more of this because this is my part in the body of Christ. So do your part. Look at verse 11, if you would. This is a verse we're going to focus on for the rest of the message here. It says, very simply, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God says you're all a very important part of the body of Christ. Every one of you has a particular function that you need to fulfill, and everyone else needs you. So don't be slothful in business. You work hard. You get at it. You do what you're supposed to do. And even if it's not part of your gifting, you do what you're supposed to do and work hard at it, not slothful in business. Get busy for God. Or if you're already busy, stay busy for God. And I know some things about this church. You all are involved with God's work. You all are doing things for the Lord. You're doing things in this church. You're doing things in the communities that you're in. Stay busy for God. Keep allowing God to use you and what you're investing your time in. Continue investing for the Lord. Not slothful in business. Then he says this, fervent in spirit. Now, fervent is that idea of boiling over. It's just that fervency of your heart for the Lord. Sometimes we can come to church. This can happen to any of us. We can be sitting in the pew on Sunday morning. We had a tired Saturday. We worked hard. Didn't get enough sleep. And just a little apathetic. Can't wait for this thing to get over so I can go home and eat lunch and take a nap. Oh, you know, just a little apathetic. God says, hey, be fervent in spirit. And sometimes you have to decide, I am going to have some fervency. Because God said it and God's worth it, I'm going to be excited about God. This is important for me to be excited about what God's doing in my life, in this church. I'm going to have some fervency for God. And you can decide to be fervent for God. Did you know if you're falling asleep in church, there's a tactic I learned from someone else. You're low on oxygen, okay? This is very practical. We want to be practical today. And so you're low on oxygen. Take some deep breaths. It's kind of a struggle. It's not very fun, but it gets more oxygen going in your body. And it helps you stay awake. Helps you stay plugged in. Pinch yourself. Do something. Get a breath mint. Get some gum. Stay engaged in what God's doing. Stay fervent in your spirit. God, I want to serve you with fervency, with a real boiling over of what God's doing in my life. Be fervent. You know, there's a lot of people in America that are Christians. They have, at some point in their life, placed their faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. And they just kind of go along the Christian life like this. Oh, what's next? Yeah, I'm in church. That's good. Good message. All right, see you later. And they just go through the Christian life like that. And I say they, it's me sometimes, honestly. Just a little like this, going through the motions. Time to be fervent. Time to get up and go and go for the Lord. Do your part, serve the Lord. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Some of you this morning might need to say, God, I love you. I know you're important and you are important to me, but God, will you just help me to have some fervency? Just give me some oomph again. Just some encouragement, some inspire me to serve you with some fervency again. And you can ask the Lord for that, and God will answer that prayer. And then make the decisions that you need to make to be engaged, to be thinking when the Word of God is presented, to be in your Bible in the mornings, even if it's for 5 minutes. 5 minutes is better than none. And from there, you can grow to more. Be in God's Word. Be fervent in spirit. And lastly, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to serve the Creator of the universe. Did you know that God serves you every day? You wake up in the morning, and guess what you have? Air to breathe. breakfast to eat, water to drink. All of that comes from God. You have a job to do that fulfills you. Even if you don't like your job, going there, working, and coming back gives you a sense of fulfillment. You have that from God. You have the health to be able to still be alive today. That's from God. God is serving you every day, and he's given you the opportunity to serve him. He doesn't really need your help. God can do anything he wants to without you and me, but he gives us the opportunity to serve him. And when we serve God, there are rewards in eternity that you and I will receive from being able to serve him. Think about this, the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9 talks about it. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Live your Christian life so that you can receive a prize at the judgment seat of Christ. One day you and I will stand before Jesus Christ, and we'll be so glad to be on the right side of eternity, having placed our faith in Jesus Christ on the right side of eternity. That is before Christ instead of in the lake of fire. That'll be a wonderful thing. But at that place before Christ, we're either going to receive rewards or we're going to suffer loss, 1 Corinthians 3 talks about. We're either going to gain something for the life that we live for the Lord, or we're going to lose something that we could have had. If you think about eternity forever, it's not just riding on a cloud, strumming a harp, playing a trumpet like never before. That's not heaven. Heaven is a real place. There are going to be a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation talks about, that is just as real as the heaven and earth that we see today. Okay, we don't see in heaven where God is, but the earth that we live on today. It's going to be just as real as that, except for no sin, no pain, no crying. Okay, it's going to be a real thing. And there will be rewards that you and I receive based on this little gap of time we live here on earth, this gap of time in relation to eternity, past and eternity, future, and rewards for eternity future based on how we lived this gap of life, how we served the Lord. I don't know what all those rewards will be. The Lord talks about enter thou into the joy of thy Lord and talks about ruling over cities and great places of position as rewards. Maybe that's some of that. But it will matter. And how we serve the Lord might not be important to us now, but it will be very important to us then. Be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. How can I serve the Lord? How can you and I serve the Lord? And these are not in the passage here, not all of them, and some of them are in the giftings. But how can you and I serve the Lord? Definitely serve the Lord in the way he's gifted you. Some other practical ways we can serve the Lord. First of all, in prayer. Doesn't matter if you know what your spiritual gift is, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Doesn't matter if you're good at public speaking, if you're not good at public speaking. Doesn't matter if you know mechanics or you don't know mechanics. If you can bake or you can't bake, it doesn't matter. You can pray. Prayer is simply a conversation between you and God. It doesn't have to be fancy words. It doesn't have to be strange concepts or elaborate thoughts. Just simply you talking to God. I teach my kids, just simply talking to God. You can talk to Jesus just like you talk to me. You know, kids can get that. Okay, they talk to daddy, they talk to mommy, they can talk to God. By the way, it's true for you and me. We can talk to God just like we talk to the person next to us, just like we talk to our family members, we can talk to God. And by the way, prayer really helps. It's a way you can serve the Lord. In Ephesians 6, at the end of the armor of God, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Paul's the best preacher in the New Testament, we could say. And he says, will you pray for me that I can have utterance? That is, that there's an open door for my words to go forth. Will you pray so that I have an opportunity to preach to people and they understand what I say and they're challenged by it and people trust Christ as their Savior? Will you pray for me? Paul the Apostle didn't need prayer, did he? Yeah, he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think we've talked about it here another time, talks about how Paul mentioned, I'm going to be delivered from all these distresses that I've been in through your prayer. You also helping together by prayer for us. Hey, God's going to keep taking care of us through you praying for us. in Philippians 1, he says that idea of through your prayer. He was confident that he'd be delivered, and he was in the prison cell, so to speak. I'll be delivered through your prayer. Prayer really helps. Prayer is that long-range missile that you have. Halfway across the world, you can be doing something for someone else through prayer. You know that person that you I wish I could just reach in their heart and just flip a switch. Just tweak it a little bit, you know? But we can't. And that's a good thing because we'd make mistakes. But we can pray. Prayer is a way that you can serve the Lord. Will you serve the Lord through prayer? There's a story of a little girl, and I might get some of the details wrong. But she was sickly and I think maybe on her deathbed, and there were some meetings going on at the church. And she would ask, hey, was so-and-so there, or did so-and-so get saved? And God was just doing these things over and over, people getting saved, people, you know, great things happening. And she'd ask, you know, throughout the meeting, hey, was so-and-so there, did so-and-so get saved? And if I get the story right, after she passed away, they found a list that she had of all of these names that God had worked on that she'd been praying for, just a little girl. We can pray. We can serve the Lord through prayer, and God works. You can serve the Lord through giving. Through giving. We talked about that as a gift, but all of us can serve the Lord through giving. Think about the lad at the feeding of the 5,000 that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That wasn't very much. Even the disciples said, but what are they among so many? I mean, there's 5 loaves here and 2 fishes. It's amazing, though, what the scripture says, Jesus took them. He took them. Now, I know Jesus enough to know that he didn't just say, hey, give me those. You know what it was? That boy was willing for Jesus to have them. Yeah, sure. Jesus took them. And he turned those 5 loaves and 2 fishes into enough food for 5,000 people, plus women and children, and 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. And God's mighty power was seen through simply giving. You know, sometimes it's hard to give because we think, I'm hardly making it on what I have. How can I give anything? Well, you know, God can do some supernatural things when you give. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. Did you know that when you give to God, God gives back to you? In eternity, for sure. Laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, thieves don't break through and steal. You're laying up treasure in heaven. But God gives it back to you even now. He says, if you give, it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. That's now. Men aren't going to be giving to us in heaven. That's from God. Men give to us now. When you give to God, you serve God through giving. I'm going to support God's work. I'm going to help people through giving. God will give back to you. Don't worry. God will give back to you. My uncle, he was preaching about this one time, and he talked about a struggle he had. Maybe you've been in this spot before where there's an offering, you know, and you're impressed in your heart to give something to God. And for him, it was a $5 bill. And it's just a struggle, you know, like, oh, I think I should give it, but I don't, that's all I have, you know, that's all I have left. And for him, it was, he had promised his wife to go for ice cream after church or something. And here he was, I think he may be sitting right up here. Usher comes up, and he's got $5 in his wallet. God tell him to give the $5. And he's like, oh, you know, doesn't want to give the $5. Well, prayer ends. Usher turns around. He just puts the $5 in the offering plate. Usher keeps going down. Stops, comes back, says, hey, here's that $10 that I owed you. True story. Here's that $10 that I owed you. You know what? God gives back. God gives back. And usually God gives back more than you gave to him. God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he can take care of you, and you can serve the Lord through simply giving. We could talk about stories, continue to, but it'd take too much time. God will take care of you when you give to him. So serve the Lord through giving. You can serve the Lord through evangelism, giving the gospel. Jesus, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is humorous, but one of our young men at the college recently gave a testimony in chapel, And he was at the Salvation Army at 135 and County Line Road in Greenwood, and in that parking lot there by KFC. And he was studying, and every little bit he'd get out and do push-ups. Don't ask me. He's a college student, okay? And so he'd get out and do push-ups, you know, keep his blood flowing, I guess, and get back in and do more studying. And, well, after a while, he saw this kid over, I think maybe near KFC or something, and this boy doing push-ups in the parking lot. I don't know if he was inspired by the college student or what. This boy over there doing, and so he had this idea. He had $1. He took the $1. I'm going to challenge him to some push-ups. He didn't have any gospel tracts except for like a church invite with the gospel on the back or something. Goes over there, and I'm thinking it was the kid's brother who was there. That this college student started talking to the brother. He had challenged this kid to do push-ups. He'd give him $1 if he could do so many or whatever. And gives the gospel to his brother, and his brother gets saved. And this is just like within the past 2 weeks up there in Greenwood. His brother gets saved. So I'm thinking we should start a push-up ministry. You know what it is? It's this. It's not the push-ups. It's not the $1. It's when you give the gospel to people. They don't all get saved, but people get saved when you give the gospel. Hey, we're all sinners. We've offended God. We're going to hell because of that. But Jesus Christ died for us. He's a substitute, and God was happy with that. And if you receive Jesus and what he's done, you can be saved and have eternity in heaven instead of hell. I'm just saying, that's pretty simple. And all of us could probably think through that a couple times and be able to tell someone else. You can serve the Lord through giving the gospel. Another one of our college students works at Chick-fil-A, County Line and 31. Any of you been to that one? It's a new one? Okay, some of you been to that one? Great food. I'm not sure if I like it quite as well as the 135 one, but you know, I've been to the 135 one more times. But anyways, this college student works there. Just recently, at the end of his shift, or close to the end of his shift, he was talking to one of his coworkers and was able to give her the gospel, and she received Christ. There at Chick-fil-A. You know what it is? Give the gospel to people. When you give the gospel out, there might be 10 people that don't do anything with it, but there's going to be one person that does something with it. Another story of a man who, he never saw anybody get saved, if I get the story right, and he was giving tracts out for like 20 years. He'd had this commitment, basically give 10 tracts out a day, and I guess he owned a shop or something. He'd step out of his shop, and he'd just hand people tracts, you know, and say something to them or whatever, and for years and years just did that. Well, finally, after like 20 years, it was a preacher that had been going around, or a speaker had been going around or something, and was meeting all these people that said, giving their salvation testimony, yeah, this guy on George Street, he stepped out of his shop and gave me a tract. And then another person somewhere else in the world, yeah, this person in Sydney, Australia, George Street, he stepped out of his shop and gave me a tract. And these people, yeah, this guy, he stepped out of his shop and gave me a tract. All of these people around the world, that for years, this little man in his shop didn't know anything was happening. He was just giving out tracts. All of these people around the world that had been saved through his simple ministry of evangelism, just doing what he could. Hey, I'm telling you what. I know it can be scary to give somebody a gospel tract. You know, like, I'm sure you don't want it, but you want the best news that can tell you how you can go to heaven instead of hell? Yeah, that's kind of how we are sometimes. Like, you know, I'm so scared to give you the best news I could. But we can give out tracts. Hey, can I give you some good news? That's what I do. Hey, you probably already know about this, but can I give you some good news? Because sometimes people are like, what, you think I don't look good? You know? Like, hey, you probably already know about this, but can I give you some good news? I'm telling you what, hardly anybody says no. Probably because they feel sorry for me. Like, this poor kid, I don't want to make him sad. But, you know, people will take the good news. Everybody needs it, right? People know that right now. Things are kind of a little crazy around the world. They need some good news. Will you serve the Lord in evangelism? We got to close here, but there are ways you can serve the Lord through prayer, giving the gospel, personally impacting other people. Barnabas did that with Paul. Barnabas did it with John Mark. Some of you are familiar with that story. And I just think about Pastor. He's pastoring in Fairland, Indiana, not far from here. Some of you know where that is. I guess kind of toward between Indy and Shelbyville. He's pastoring a little church there, just newly pastoring, and we went to college together. When we were about 14 years old, we were at a college days, and I encouraged him to preach in the preaching competition. I didn't even know what I was doing, I guess. I hardly remember even doing it. You know, I don't know how many times he's reminded me of, yeah, you encouraged me to preach in the preaching competition. You know what he's doing now? He's pastoring. He's preaching every Sunday. You know that you can do that? I don't know what it is, but you can encourage somebody to do something for the Lord that will change their life. Will you serve the Lord just the way that you can? Hey, you're important in the body of Christ. You have a part. You might be the hand. You're very important. You might be the foot. You're very important. Will you ask the Lord this morning, Lord, give me some passion, some fervency to do my part in this church, in this community. Help me to do my part. I'm just going to ask you right now, in your heart, tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not much. You know me, but I want to do my part. Lord, I want to do my part. Will you tell the Lord that this morning? Lord, I pray that you would bring us to that point that we are willing to do our part for you. Lord, you've done so much for us, and we're thankful. Help us to be willing to do our part for you. Lord, give us that fervency of spirit. Lord, with all the other things going on around us, help us to have some fervency in our heart to serve you. And Lord, help us to do what we can in that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd encourage you just to stand to your feet. Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed.